Welcome back to the Cloak and Dagger Control Room. This is Lenny Bloom. It's Tuesday night. This evening, our live broadcast went off on time, but for some reason, we weren't able to get our message out. It's not sure whether we were hacked. Of course, the law of averages is we were hacked. So we're doing everything to get our live broadcast up and running. If you're having problems receiving it, have patience. We're doing our best to get it out. We do have protection most of the time. We have been hacked tonight, and so only by being a member. That's one of the benefits of being a member. The hackers don't have a direct effect on you. Once again, we're going to download it into three parts. Tonight was a really terrific hot briefing, especially since the Kitty Kelly book is a million copies are coming up, and it certainly goes a long way to vindicating Sherman and from all the things that Sherman has been discovering and talking about that people are finding bizarre. So enjoy tonight's briefing. And once again, it's in three parts. This is the beginning of part one. Thanks for your patience, and tell your family and friends we're doing our best to get the on-air broadcast going. But once again, if you remember the archive, you're going to hear tonight's show. Good night. Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, and once again, we're here to uncover the cover-ups and expose the secrets that the Illuminati hopes you don't learn. We're going to continue to explore state secrets and the treason briefings. And joining me in this quest tonight, once again, are the two greatest crime fighters and crime busters on the planet. First of all, we're fortunate to be joined from Chicago, Illinois. Sherman H. Skolnick is the only judge buster on the planet. And from Los Angeles, California, we're honored once again to have Tom Hannigan joining us as one of the greatest crime fighters, crime busters there is on the planet. Gentlemen, it's a real honor to have you back, and we're back at Cloak and Dagger for another evening briefing.
Well, I want to wish everyone a good evening tonight, and just want to say hello to everyone in Canada, the United States, and across the pond over in Europe, with a special note once again to our great French allies who are helping and assisting us right now in our struggle, the American resistance, and our struggle against the Bush crime syndicate and their occupation government, which, of course, has been...
And hello to those who speak English, who hear us across the other pond, the Pacific. We have listeners there as well.
Yeah, we want to say hello to everybody in Japan. We hear we have a lot of listeners in Japan, and we want to say hello to them. And I guess we should jump right off tonight with the latest bombshell book that is about to hit the... Hit the press here in the United States. It's Kitty Kelly's basically unauthorized biography of the Bush crime syndicate.
Right. The book is called The Family, The Real Story of the Bush Dynasty. Go ahead, Tom.
Now, of course, a lot of the material that is in this book will be new, and some of it to people that have listened to us for years will not be new. For example, in the book, it will reveal that Mr. Bush, the occupant and resident of the White House, as he's called, George W., has had for years reveals a special friend who used to be the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, who has at many times cohabited with Bush fraud at the Texas family Bush crime syndicate ranch. Of course, we've known for years who that is. That individual is Victor Ash, and he is now ambassador to Poland. And, of course, he is the a noted homosexual and a skull and bonesman. Jump in real quick, Sherman.
Daddy Bush, George W. Bush's father, and by the way, because of the way George W. Bush was put into the, as the resident and occupant of the White House, I, as a independent, see fit to call him Bush fraud. Daddy Bush did something as a father that most all fathers would not do. He reportedly encouraged his son, about the age of puberty, to cavort sexually with another boy named Victor Ash. And so they grew up together, and they went to Yale. And at Yale, they have the windowless headquarters of the Skull and Bastard Society, or Skull and Bones, however you want to call them. It's called the Tomb. And they select only 15 members a year, and they go through initiation procedures with one or more members already of the Skull and Bastard Society. And so there are pictures that we're going to discuss briefly of the two of them cavorting in a double-sized open coffin filled with mud, cavorting au naturel, homosexual style. And that's part of the initiation procedure. And a further initiation procedure is conducted by a older member of Skull and Bastard Society, which, as to George W. Bush, was another bonesman, John F. Kerry. And there is a picture of that. So,
yeah, and we can jump in real quick. This book will be... we'll analyze why the embarrassing photographs of Bush and Kerry in the coffin, full of mud, engaging in consensual homosexual sex, as we have pointed out many times on this program, that the anthrax mailings to destroy the building of the National Enquirer and kill the photo editor Stevens was actually done in order for certain members of the Secret Service and U.S. Treasury to go in and get the picture of the older Bonesman Kerry initiating the younger Bonesman Bush fraud.
No, the pictures are still there, Tom. Let me explain.
Well, I didn't say they were gone. I'm just saying they were trying to grab them. The problem is there's extra copies that had been made.
Right.
We don't want to tell anyone tonight where they're at because we would jeopardize... excuse me, their security.
But what happened is, right after the 911 incident, was the anthrax situation, and the first victim of the anthrax was Bob Stevens, the picture editor of American Media Incorporated, AMI, headquartered in Boca Raton, Florida, where 500 people or more work, and he, Stevens, was a near-sight visioned. And so somebody sent him an envelope. He took off his glasses to look closely at it and opened it up close to his face as he was looking at the address. And as a result, he breathed directly into his nose anthrax spores, and soon thereafter he was dead. I have written about this several years ago, and I also mentioned that a Stevens widow has, in a little publicized suit, has sued the FBI for obstructing her from finding out what happened to her husband. The FBI sealed up the building and did not allow anyone other than the other secret agents of the government to know anything about the files and pictures files that were in the building. In other words, AMI was, the people had to evacuate, could not take with them their picture and text files, and that building remains closed up now. And what happened is Rudolph Giuliani, who was the mayor of New York at the time of 911, formed a company called Bio One, and their business is cleaning up buildings and such that were made toxic by anthrax, and Giuliani bought the building for a little nothing, and so he is now in charge.
And of course, on top of this,
of his close pal George W. Bush. So I have long since written about it. Now Kitty Kelly, in her book, goes one step further and says that it was not an accident what happened to Bob Stevens, that because of the nature of these pictures that Tom started to talk about, that secret agents of the Bush White House murdered Bob Stevens.
That's correct. And as far as Rudy Giuliani is concerned, we can announce tonight where we are going to issue a warrant for his arrest We believe he knew in advance about 9/11 as mayor of New York at the time. His connections to True Colors, Madeleine Albright, Bitch, a.k.a. Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst, Bush Fraud, the occupant in residence of the White House, John Kerry, the bonesman, and his whole staff full of Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst stooges, the Boston FBI. Giuliani was tipped off in advance vis-a-vis the FBI intercept that Sybil Edmonds had been able to translate and sent through to the National Security Council and the National Security Agency under Condoleezza Rice. This material was well circulated to Governor Pataki, to Rudy Giuliani, to Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst, the mayor, the senator from New York, and the other Senator Schumer. It was noted to every member of any legal consequence of as far as government is concerned in the state of New York what was coming. And of course, Giuliani is a typical box stooge if there ever was one. Look at what he did back in 2000. He was supposed to be the opponent of Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst for the Senate of New York, and he was considered probably a strong enough candidate to defeat her. Now, what did he do at that time? Oh, he had some cancer problem, he was being divorced with his wife. He basically was forced to leave the race, making way for a puppet candidate to be put in the place of Giuliani for the purpose of having a non-election in which Queen Malasila, as we point out many times, her CIA nickname, she likes to be a monarch, would have an easy race in which there would be basically no opposition. So Giuliani, of course, participated directly with Queen Malasila in that stunt. He then participated directly in the 9/11 treason. So obviously Giuliani makes his way around. He's a major operative of this box society.
Right, and now...
And he says in his Republican convention, God bless, the day the plane hit, I said, God bless the world that George W. Bush is president. Yeah, he probably meant what he said, because if Al Gore was president, he would have had Giuliani arrested for treason right on the spot.
Right. So now Giuliani, head of Bio-1 that cleans up toxic contaminated buildings, by the secret police, he's been put in charge of these devastating pictures of Kerry and Bush cavorting in the open coffin initiation proceedings that we discussed, and of George W. Bush cavorting with his longtime male sex mate, Victor Ashe. And when a few in Congress began asking questions, I don't think they really wanted to go anywhere with it, Victor Ashe, the longtime mayor of Knoxville, decided he didn't want to be the mayor anymore, and so George W. Bush sent him out of the country, beyond the U.S. jurisdiction, as the ambassador to Poland, and that's where Victor Ashe is.
I
did want to jump in on Giuliani. I'm not finished with him yet.
All right. Well, I want to get to the great American brainwashing machine. I'll leave that for the end. You guys go ahead.
I'm not finished with Giuliani. Are you listening, Rudy? You see, Rudy Giuliani also was the mayor of New York during the time that the gold was moved out of various vaults linked to the New York Federal Reserve.
14 stories below the sidewalk, yeah.
This stolen gold, which is linked to commissions and funds that are are actually contractually under a tax treaty linked to Ambassador Leo Wanta and his team of junkyard dogs, which were the CIA proprietary operation which helped destabilize the old Soviet Union through movement of funds in and out of European banks, headquartered in Vienna and Paris, France, Banque de Paris. These funds, a large amount of them, including a large percentage of the gold, were supposed to be paid directly to U.S. and French interests, because the French participated directly in this program to destabilize the old Soviet Union. Our great ally, France, was the key, along with the United States, was the key to this success. President Mitterrand and Ronald Reagan at the time. The obstructor in the deal, the double dealer in the whole operation, was the British MI6 and the royal family and Margaret Thatcher, who, by the way, is still covering around here at the United States the last few weeks with her crooked son trying to work deals back and forth, which is probably linked to this question about this gold. The operative who was helping her, and I'm going to finger him right on the air again, is this guy named Mr. X, Dana Wilcox. He works for Bush and Bitch. He's a dangerous criminal. He's got a new kidney now. He went ahead of about 30 other people to get a kidney, and he is a black ops specialist and is probably directly linked also to 9/11. And we urge those in the U.S. military and those working with our French allies to have Mr. Wilcox immediately arrested and handcuffed. He's a treasonous bastard. But the bottom line is this. This gold left New York, and like you point out many times, Lenny, the best way to pull off a big heist or a bank robbery is to have a diversion. And what was the diversion? The plane smashing into the World Trade Center, basically the holograms, and have the patsy already scripted, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden. So where is this gold right now? Some say it's in a parking lot in Zurich. But the bottom line is this. Giuliani looked the other way as all this gold was stolen. Right under his eyes, right under his nose, he let the heist take place. He committed treason against the United States by letting this gold leave the country. And who is it under the control of now? The British royal family, to a large degree, and Vladimir Putin, the criminal KGB thug who now governs as the head of the Soviet head of the Russian Federation. And Giuliani gets up in front of the Republican convention in New York and says, God bless the fact that George Bush was president. Obviously, George Bush knew what was coming and wanted this gold to be stolen, too, since he is nothing but a proxy for the British royal family.
Right.
So, God bless George Bush, says Rudy Giuliani. You know what? I hope you're listening, Rudy, because you're right. If the duly elected president, Albert Gore, was in office, you'd be in prison right now.
Let me remind the listeners.
So this gold was stolen, and who is a co-conspirator in the theft of this gold? Rudy Giuliani. In fact, we believe he has received a 10% kickback from AB and Ambro for allowing this heist to take place. And we're going to try to get more information on this and more documentation. And when we get it, Rudy, we're sticking you right up on the Internet, and we're issuing your arrest warrant. So congratulations on your speech at the Republican convention, but now you're going to face the reality of justice under the American Constitution because you are a criminal little thug.
All right, now let me remind the listeners that may have missed our previous program where we discussed exclusively the problem of 2,854 metric tons of gold. The General Accounting Office has repeatedly demanded of the Bush White House and the U.S. Treasury to divulge where this gold is. And the Treasury and the White House repeatedly refuse to disclose that. As a result, the GAO cannot certify the audit of the Treasury, and for technical and other purposes, the Treasury has to be considered as insolvent because they will not divulge where this gold is as an asset and so on. So that's where that stands. The other thing that we have to discuss, which is a highly controversial subject, but some of us believe that Bush, because of various scandals and situations, as they get closer to the election, he may feel that he is not ahead in the polls, but behind, and he may feel desperate, and therefore he may do something which I call the Jewish card. I know it's a controversial subject, and we will try to consider every aspect in a fair way. But and I'm one of those that's very blunt, and I have this foresight that George W. Bush has the makings of another megalomaniac named Adolf Hitler.
Hi, this is Lenny Bloom. This is the end of segment.